Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Podcast. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. Very excited about the podcast tonight. We have motivational speaker and professional life coach Jasmine Doster. That's our guest. And we have three amazing co-hosts with us tonight, LaTanya, Nicole, and Brittany. So I'll go ahead and introduce them a little bit into the show. Before I start, I want to make a few announcements. After the show, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, go to blurdology.co/blurred forum. It's a new forum that has been done through Blurdology. They're partnering up with various blurreds in the community, myself, Geek Soul Brother, Black Chivalrous Nerd, and Don Gibson. And after each of our respective podcasts and chats, there's going to be an additional chat on their site. So check that out, and Jasmine will stick around to answer any questions or comments that you have about our podcast tonight. And also, if you haven't already done so, check out Zazzle, www.zazzle.com/blurredgasm. That's B-L-E-R-D-G-A-S-M. There's great products out there that's got the Black Girls Nerds logo on it. There's a coffee mug, which a lot of you guys have been tweeting to me about, that's on my avatar. We have a mouse pad. We've got a tote bag. Lots of great products. So check that out at Zazzle.com/blurredgasm. All right. So before we introduce our guests, want to go ahead and pass the virtual mic over to our co-hosts. Our co-host tonight is LaTanya, Nicole, and Brittany. In that order, ladies, go ahead and introduce yourselves and give us your social network shout-outs.
Hello, this is LaTanya. I'm with sprinklesandbooze.com. On my site, you can find everything. I'm on Instagram, Twitter. The handle's the same basically for everything, so if you want to internet stalk me, you can. I also am a very proud contributor of Black Girl Nerds, and that's it.
Hey, girl, hey. No, it's Trinidal, C-H-Y-N-U-D-O-L. You can find me on Twitter at Trinidal. I am new to Vine, where I do snippets of my life, dates that I go on. I'm a relationship blogger. You can find my blog at www.allyouneedtoknowaboutmen.blogspot.com. And I think that's it. That's where I'm at.
Trying it out. Hello, my name is Brittany. You can find me on Twitter at naturalgirl89. Also, I have a blog on Tumblr, which is the loves and woes of a natural girl. And I just have all things natural on there. And that's about it for me, too. Oh, and I also do a few pieces for Black Girl Nerds sometimes. So, yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thank you, ladies. All right, so tonight we have Jasmine Doster. She's an evangelist, speaker, entrepreneur, and life coach. She has studied real estate, business systems, financial literacy, and personal development. She's dedicated her life to helping other women discover their purpose in life through trainings, workshops, leadership seminars, and giving motivational messages. Please welcome Jasmine Doster to the show. Hi, Jasmine.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. I wanted to first start off with asking you to tell us your definition of what a professional life coach is, and what type of coaching do you specialize in?
Okay. Well, a life coach is someone who helps someone, I guess, figure out different things in life. Specifically what I do, I help people discover what their purpose is and also give them, like, guidance on how to get there. We provide, you know, services with first the discovery section, and then we get into actually coming up with the actions to make it happen. Also, just getting through any personal challenges that may have gotten in the way in the past or getting in the way now. So that's what we do.
And in your biography, there's a biography that's posted, guys, on blackgirlnerds.com about Jasmine. You mentioned that you had a bit of a checkered past, as many of us have. But tell us a little bit about your past experience and how it shaped you to become the woman that you are today.
Okay. Well, my whole story is kind of like I started out – where should I start? Well, most of my story is for my adult life is my college experience, you know, being a young woman at 18 and going away to college at Howard University, HU, I need to give a shout out, and when I went away to college, you know, I lived, you know, like the college lifestyle like most people, but when you get to college, usually when you're that young, you don't really know what you are purposed to do. You have some ideas of what you may want to do and it may be interesting to you. Mm-hmm. So during that time, when I was, like, 18, I got into, like, doing modeling or, like, video modeling, like, men's magazines, that sort of thing. Like, I was that's what I wanted to do, and I thought it would lead to, like, acting or, you know, doing things in entertainment. Because it's what I saw in front of me. You know, we have the need for good role models, because if we can identify with a person, we sometimes want to become like them just because we can identify with them. Like, you know, I saw the girls that looked sort of like me, so that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted, you know, the attention. You get to a college campus to 7-1 guys, and you want to be like, you know, kind of like an it girl, especially at a school like Howard. So I got into, I don't know, just trying to be someone, I guess, that I thought I was, so someone I thought I wanted to be. So that was, like, what my experience was like there in college, getting into, you know, drinking, partying, like, having sex outside of marriage, like, doing everything that most people consider to be normal things to do in the college experience. And then as I got a little bit older, and I think it was maybe my, like, junior year of school, I just wanted to change. You know how you get tired of doing the same thing over and over again? It kind of leads to nowhere, really. Like, you just still feel as empty as you felt before, but it's, like, gratifying at that time. So I started going back to church, and then I had an experience, like, my senior year, like, maybe a month before graduation, where a girl that I knew, I had known, she invited me to her church a couple of times, and one day I just decided to call her up that morning and ask her if I could go with her, and, like, really, something happened that I wasn't expecting, but it changed my life forever. Like, I went to church, and, you know, the message that was preached that Sunday, it made me realize, you know, that my lifestyle wasn't okay and that I wasn't really heading in the right direction. And after that, I really gave my life to Christ, and I started, like, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit with fire and speaking in tongues, and I started really to pursue God and pursue a relationship with Him, because I already had known about Him, but until that time, I really didn't know Him. And that's where, like, you know, the real self-discovery, the real person that I was, you know, destined to be before time, I started, you know, studying the Word and learning more about what I'm supposed to do with my life. And that's within the past few years. That was 3 years ago. So that's where I'm led to now. I developed this passion to really help other people. One, to know, have a relationship with Christ and know who He is and understand the bad news so that they can understand the good news of salvation, and then also finding their purpose in Christ. And that's why I know that that's a huge part of my purpose, is to, you know, help others and lead others into purpose and destiny. So that's why I'm doing the life coaching and speaking and, you know, the blog that I have, to encourage others to live a life of purpose and purity, you know, because our life is precious, and, you know, we can make the most of our life and ultimately do what God purposed us to do so that we can impact others. But I believe our purpose is not for us. Like, if your dream will only impact you or is only to preserve yourself, then it's not big enough. You know, it's not a God dream, because everything He puts us here to impact others. Our life isn't just for us. Just like Jesus, His whole purpose was to die on the cross for our sins, to reconcile us back to God. Like, it was bigger than Him. It wasn't just about Him doing carpentry, because that's what He did as for a profession. His whole life and goal of God's goal for His life was much bigger than just, you know, selfishness. So, yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I wonder, when you do this life coaching, do you focus on ministry with life coaching with everyone specifically in the Christian community, or do you seek out people who may not be a believer, that's not of the Christian faith, and try to help introduce them to Christ?
Well, it's more Christian-based life coaching, because the goal of it is to, you know, have a God-centered life and do the God purpose. Mm-hmm. But I still can work with people who are not believers, and my goal would be to, yes, lead them to Christ.
One thing that we, or actually a couple of things we have in common, we were both HBCU alums. HBCUs represent. You went to Howard. I went to Norfolk State. And also another thing that we have in common is we're both communications majors, which is pretty cool. Great connection, a divine connection, if you will. So tell me about your experience at Howard and also your experience majoring in communications, and how have you used those skills to do what you're doing now?
My Howard experience overall, it was a very good experience. I wouldn't take it away, you know, for the world, because I learned a lot while being there, just, you know, learning how to be independent, you know, for the first time in my life, I was on my own. And also what I liked about being at Howard is because I felt empowered as, you know, as a Black woman. It was very empowering to be around intelligent Black people and know that, you know, you're important. Like going to school where I went in not undergrad, but like in high school or in the South, you're not really celebrated. But that's one thing I like about HBCU. They celebrate you as, you know, a Black person and knowing that you can do anything. And, you know, the legacy that you're walking in for other people that went to our schools before us. I studied communications and my major was radio, TV, film. I think what I'm learning, what I'm using now, well, I'm doing a podcast, and I had a radio show, actually, my freshman year. I did a show called Howard Issues on Sunday evening for a semester. So I'm using my skills there, and I'm also, you know, writing the blog. I'm also working on a book and an e-book. So I'm using a lot of my communication skills. In entrepreneurial ways and other ways to help other people. I haven't actually worked necessarily in the industry besides, like, I had some internships. But it definitely did help with what I'm doing now to be able to communicate effectively with people.
Awesome. On Twitter, Don M. Gibson asks, what are the first steps towards finding purpose?
The first steps towards finding purpose are to, one, well, I would say first having a relationship with Christ and getting to know him and getting a pure heart, so then you can then see what you're passionate about, paying attention to the dreams that you have, because dreams, you know, hint towards what you may be passionate about, and then finding a way to turn your gifts and your passion into, you know, something that can help other people. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that answers.
Okay.
I have a question for you, though. Say if someone is of a different faith, like if they're not Christian, how would you go about helping that person? Like if they wanted to work with you and they understood where you were coming from and how you really move forward with achieving your goals and setting out your purpose, but they're mm-hmm. just like, Christian, and it's not for me, you know what I mean? So how would you go about, I guess, working with that person?
Okay. I would do an assessment of their gifts, like seeing the thing that they're really good at naturally, and then pairing it with their passion, you know, finding out, you know, going through a series of, like, questionnaires to see what they're good at and then what they're passionate about, because anything that you're passionate about, it won't be work to do it, you know what I mean? You'll do it, you'll wake up in the morning mm-hmm. and you want to do it. So that would be the first things that I would look at, assessing, like, what they're good at and then what they're passionate about, and then, you know, developing goals from there to, yeah, and then an action plan to achieve those goals.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question. As far as the book that you are working on, will it be similar to, like, the book A Purpose Driven Life, or will it be more like an assessment where people can take assessments of themselves to point the direction they should go with in their lives? What?
I'm working actually on like an e-book, which is like it's going to be a shorter book, and then I'm working on a book that's more of it's more bibliography sort of like it's I'm talking about my own experiences.
Okay.
And I'm talking about sort of like it's more like a guide. Well, the one that's biographical is more about talking about how I found Christ and a lot of the myths and things that I believed before that I found out weren't true. And there's also like, you know, practical application exercises included to show like to teach just more of like a lesson, like self-help / motivation / like just talking about my experiences because that's what I know about, my spiritual experiences. And then the ebook that I'm writing, it's going to be, well, the title is in the works, but it's going to be about having what you are, what it takes to succeed, because a lot of times, even myself, like, I put off things, even if you are intending to do something, say with starting a podcast or starting a business, and sometimes you feel like you don't have what it takes, or you're putting off to this date when you have this or that, or thinking everything has to be perfect, but it's talking about, you know, how you have what you need and how to access what you need and being creative to get things done and start now. Start building your dream now and not waiting till, you know, everything's perfect to get started, because you may never get started if that's the case.
We've got a couple of people. Oh, go ahead.
I just have one more question. How do you, as a life coach, address those who may have a passion for something, but they're very passionate about something, they feel like this is definitely their calling or their purpose, however it may not be the best thing for them, or it's something that they have been working on and it hasn't come into fruition? Like, how do you address those type of things?
Well, I mean, I have to be honest about it and not be willing to help them, but I want to help them go in the best direction possible. But, I mean, sometimes some things aren't for everybody, and we have to realize that as well. I don't have a like, specific method, but I'm definitely like an honest person. So if I thought that something wasn't best for someone, I would definitely tell them, and then they could, you know, choose to, you know, continue or not. But I wouldn't like help someone. You know, you don't help someone into like a pit. They don't even need help for that.
Well, do you help more like couples, or do you have more people who are like, you know, just regular people asking you for help?
Just regular individuals, not couples.
Okay.
Now, we got a couple of people on the line holding, so they've been waiting a while. I don't know if they're calling in to listen in via Skype or if they're wanting to talk to you. So I'm going to bring in the first caller, area code 515. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from? Hello?
Hello.
Okay, so they may be just listening in. And then we have area code 901. Hello, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerd. Which name were you from? Hello? Okay. So they're listening in. Okay. So we've got some more questions from Twitter. This is a great one here from Dawn Gibson. She asked, do women seem to have a harder time finding their own purpose, or is it about the same for women and men? What are your thoughts on that, Jasmine?
No, I don't think women have like a harder time finding their purpose. Maybe if they're in a relationship, they may be like wrapped up into their mate's purpose. But I don't see why there would be like a bias or why it would be harder in any way, really. No.
And then another question she asked, what's the best way to help somebody that's drifting or is just repeating the same relationship mistakes? I'd like that answer too. I help with that one. So what's your advice for women on that?
My advice is to, you know, get to the root of a problem. Everything that, you know, that we do behaviorally, there's a reason for it, and you have to get to the root of the problem and then make a change. Because, you know, if we're doing the same thing, we'll always get the same results. Or, like, maybe times, say someone had, like, didn't have a father around, and then they always end up in a relationship where the person is unavailable, or there's, like, an emotional chase. Like, these are behaviors that if you can identify them and see what the problem is, and that person has to make a conscious decision, you know, to not do that thing once you get to the root of whatever the problem may be. Because a lot of the times, yeah, those are the reasons we have to change our thinking about the situation, whatever it may be, in a relationship, or, you know, dating the same type of guy, or, you know, just those behavior patterns can be changed because your mindset has to change about it being okay to do it, you know. So, yeah, that would be my advice for that. Find out where it's coming from. Because it's always something. We don't know on the surface, but there's always something there that we've been ignoring. And then later it's like, oh, okay. That's why I keep doing that.
There's always some sort of deep-seated issue somewhere when it comes to that, you know, whether it's something that has to do with parental issues, or you know, how you grew up, or what you dealt with as a kid, you know, in school or what have you. So there's always something that's underlying, and then once you get it resolved, then you're able to move forward and grow from there. So we also have a question in the podcast chat room from Thick Designer. She asks, how do you encourage young people going off to college to keep the faith and stay close to God?
How would I encourage them? I would encourage them to, 100%, you know, to have a relationship with God, and, you know, act like he's there with you. You don't even have to try to, you know, perfect a law, but I know, like, for example, me, when I went away to school, like, you don't have parents around. You can do whatever you want, but, you know, God is with you. He sees your actions. Like, be conscious of that God is with you, and, you know, just be, you know, read the Bible and have a relationship with him. Ask God to show you how to have a relationship with him. And also, you know, when you go to school, try to find a Bible-based church that you can go to so you can have a support system, because it's, you know, it's going to be hard if you're surrounded by people who aren't, you know, walking with God. But if you have people maybe at a church or a Bible study that will support you in doing that, and you're all heading towards the same direction, then it'll be easier to stay on the right path.
And one of the things, you know, for me, I identify myself as Christian, but I've always had problems, unfortunately, I've had problems with the church where I haven't felt a connection. So, first of all, what's your thoughts on that? And what do you think about people who choose to just use their connection with solitude and just do it in a sort of solitary environment? Because for me, I just prefer to be within the confines of my room and have that spiritual connection through prayer, through reading my Bible, and feel connected that way. And then I, you know, eventually I'll tune in to various shows, like I listen to Creflo Dollar and Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen and them, and that's how I get my spiritual food. Sometimes people feel like they don't mesh well in a church, and for me, I don't go to church on Sundays, but I feel I have a strong connection with someone who goes to church every Sunday just as much as just being in my room and praying and reading my Bible. So what are your thoughts about people that just choose to not go to church and still had that spiritual connection and that walk with God?
I don't see anything wrong with that, especially if you're listening to, if you're getting fed. But the most important thing is we have to be fed But I do recommend, if you can find a good church, you know, to get connected, because it's always good to have that support system. But, I mean, if that's their choice, then that's their choice. But I still think it's a good idea to get connected to a body of believers, because there's other people, you know, that can intercede for you. There's godly counsel. But it can be hard to find a place that, you know, if you're not comfortable there, I would just be prayerful about it and always, you know, stay connected to God. Like, it's kind of like having a cell phone plugged into a charger, like how you can't go very long without charging your phone. It's like, you know, everyone charges their phone every day, so I think it's important to pray and to read the Bible. And like you said, watching the Internet is great now. There's so many different resources out there. But you just want to make sure that you're being, you know, recharged daily. Because some people go to church and never have that daily connection, and then it's still kind of like a lost cause, because that's not going to feed you for the week. You need, I think both are good. But if the other option is not available, you definitely just want to stay connected to God so that, you know, we have the power.
Yeah, I always feel like sometimes people judge others for not going to church every Sunday, and you can have just as much value as someone who walks in their own faith, and it doesn't necessarily have to speak to Christianity. It could be any faith that you get to, but I just don't think that you always have to be within a group per se to have a spiritual connection. Whether it be prayer, whether it be meditation, or what have you. So that's something that I've always had discussions with people on, saying, you know, you need to go to church, and you need to try this church and that church. Well, what if I just enjoy having my spiritual connection in a solitary environment? What if that's just something that works for me? So
I think that most of the time you kind of need that, like, alone time with whatever your faith is or whatever you wish to do, whether it be prayer, meditation, whatever the case may be, because a lot of times people are influenced by others, and you don't really know your own, you're kind of just going with emotions and just going with what you're told. So I completely agree with you. I was never baptized. I was kind of raised to kind of figure out what I wanted to do on my own. And I'm more spiritual than anything. Like, I'm Native American. My dad's Native American. And, like, he kind of raised me in the sense that, like, you know, just figure it out for yourself and trust your instincts and, you know, have that alone time, like, with yourself, whether it be prayer, meditation, whatever. So I feel like you have to have that time in order to share that with other people, like, before you can go to church and, like, share your faith, because you have to figure out what your purpose is and what you're doing with what, basically, the energy you're putting into your faith. You have to figure it out on your own, I think. But
maybe that's me.
We've got someone that just called in, so let me see if they want to talk to us. This is area code 202. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
Hey, I'm Jerome. I'm from Prince George's County, Maryland. Praise Jesus to you all.
Hey,
hello.
How's it going?
I was invited by Jasmine from out of Cal.
Awesome.
Nice. What do you have to add to the discussion?
Well, I'm not going to impart my personal opinion, but just coming from the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, I think it's very significant that that the Covenant Brothers and Sister Fellowship maintain the fellowship and that connection.
I definitely agree with you. You definitely need to have fellowship. You have to have connection. You need that support. I guess I was just speaking to, sometimes there's some criticism for people that elect not to go to church and choose to use their spiritual connection in a different way. So,
well, of course, Of course. You know, even though the Word of God says do not forsake the assembling of the brethren, so we still need that building, that congregation as a corporation.
Right.
The whole in the body of Christ.
Right.
Spending that quality time, that one-on-one connection with Christ is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're doing the phone line with someone, with another individual as a group, as a corporate group, or just that individual quality time intimacy with God on a more intimate level, you know, personal level.
Right. Well, thank you for your feedback. I really appreciate it. You were calling just
ready
listening.
For it, but I just thought I'd give my input.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Yeah, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, so one of the other questions I have, we've got a lot of questions from Twitter. I'm going to get back to Twitter. But one of the questions I wanted to ask as well, the decisions that we make, how does the decisions that we make shape our destiny, and what can we do to help shape them to promote ourselves to upward mobility?
That's a very good question. I think it's important, before you make a decision, to analyze the decision and see exactly, you know, where that decision will take you, and then others, of course, the decisions that will follow that one. Like, for example, let's say you decide to, you know, go move to Paris, or what's that a good one? Just every decision we make is going to shape our destiny, whether we, you know, whether we like it or not. So it's good to, I think that's why it's good to first come up with, you know, a vision for your life in general, so that every decision you're making is going towards that direction, so that you will, you know, shape it in a way that is desirable, so that you get a desired result. So for the second part of the question was how to reshape our decisions for upward mobility. You know, when you're making a decision, think about, will this decision move me forward or backwards? If it's going to move you forward, then it's probably a decision that will move you in the upward direction that you're wanting to go in. So just, you know, analyzing the decision to see, you know, what will be the result, how is this going to impact my life? How is it going to impact others who are in my family and others around me? You know, and then in generations to come, will this decision, even if it's deciding to, like, you know, what school to go to or taking a class, like just thinking long-term and really taking the time to be prudent in your decision-making will, you know, move you forward and not backwards if you, you know, make a quality decision.
Tell us about the soul versus the spirit. I remember hearing, I think Creflo Dollar had a series about this, and I didn't even know that there was a distinction between the two. I'd used them interchangeably in the past, the same way I used geek and nerd interchangeably, and I didn't know there was a difference between those. But
right.
Talk to us about the distinction between the soul versus the spirit and how that plays a role in decision-making.
Okay. Well, the soul, well, first of all, everyone on earth, we're a body, we're a spirit. The real us is a spirit. We're a spirit man. We
mm-hmm.
live in a body, which is our earth suit. Like, it's the only way that we're allowed to be here, through our bodies. And then we have a soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So, you know, the mind, will, emotions, your soul is like, your personality, your likes and dislikes, your will is, you know, the things that you want. And those are shaped usually by, you know, our experiences in life and things like that. And this is why I was talking earlier from my, you know, from my standpoint on, okay, first, you know, getting to divine purpose would be, you know, having a relationship with God through Christ, because if your soul is not renewed, which is, the Bible says, you know, to renew your mind with the word of God. So in our soul, if you always, if someone says something about you and you and your will and your soul would be would tell you, let me go tell them off, or, you know what I'm saying, or let me go gossip about them. But if you renew your mind with the Spirit, because the Word is Spirit, you would think to do what the Word says about it, because our spirit man is, the Spirit is not, it's not fleshly. You know, our soul and our will and emotions, all that is a part of the, considered the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So if you make a spiritual decision, it's going to be based on, you know, the Word of God or the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, our spirit is regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and which makes us, you know, able to access God and make decisions based on, you know, the Holy Spirit. But if we only are in our soul, then we'll make soulish decisions, which will be in our own mind. Like, do you ever find yourself, you know, reasoning a lot about something, and, you know, you get confused? After you, you know, because you can reason, like, let's just say it's a yes or no decision, whatever you're reasoning about, and it's yes and it's no, and then you can reason your way to think one way or the other way very strongly, and then you're confused, and that's usually because, you know, you're in your soul, you're not allowing, you know, you don't just get like a knowing. Usually when something is in the spirit, it's a knowing that you get, or, you know, do you understand what I mean? Have you ever experienced that, like?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally know I do, and that's when I have to, I realize, okay, you know what, like, you know, you're in the flesh. If I'm worrying about something or thinking a lot or making decisions sometimes, like, that's why they say not to make a decision at the height of emotion, because you're going to go with your soul. You know, we can't be moved by our feelings, because our feelings will, you know, blow us all over the place.
Right.
So I think that's the main difference in a spiritual decision and an emotional decision. Your soul, you know, your will, your emotions are all into it.
Right. Right.
I have a question. As a life coach, who would be your ideal client? Like, who would you want to reach out to help the most?
My ideal client.
Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, type of person, or like, who do you, like, what made you decide, you know what, I want to help this person? Like, what was your target audience, I guess? Was it just everyone in general, or?
Well, I think my target audience are, you know, young women,
mm-hmm.
who are like me, who can relate to my experience. Just, like, I wish I had maybe a life coach back when I was 18. So I would say my target audience would probably be, and it could be, you know, other people can definitely benefit, but targeted people that I think that, you know, I would appeal to, and they would appeal, my experiences would draw them to want help, would be probably ages like 17 to 30 or 17 to 25.
Okay.
In that age range.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly you would say females. Do you also coach males?
Yes.
Okay.
What kind of advice do you give to men?
Yeah.
What kind of advice do you give to men?
I actually haven't necessarily coached a man. I give advice and just talk to people, like, through counseling. It depends on what they're asking me. But it's the same, really, for everyone, as far as, you know, getting in alignment with purpose. I need something more specific, and then I could answer better.
Do you give them advice about relationships?
Yes, I could definitely advise on relationships.
And what are your views on relationships? Do you believe that you should not have sex before marriage? Do you believe, what are your views about just relationships in general, as far as people living together before getting married? What are your views, and do you give advice to people only according to your spiritual beliefs and views, or do you still deal with people who speak differently?
Yeah, my beliefs are the same. Like, that's why I guess, like, I can't really talk about anything without talking about God and what he says about it, because when I became, you know, a born-again Christian, his thoughts became my thoughts. I don't separate it at all. So my advice would be to follow, you know, what it says in the Bible. I don't believe in sex before marriage. I don't believe in cohabitation. I don't believe in any of that because, you know, it wasn't created to be that way in the beginning. Like, you know, God is clear about it in his word about, you know, how he wants us to relate with one another. Just like if you're in a relationship with someone, like there shouldn't be, you shouldn't treat someone that you're in a relationship with like they're your husband or wife, because they're not, you know. Like the Bible didn't have like really like girlfriends and boyfriends. It's not even really like boyfriend and girlfriend in the Bible or dating or necessarily any of those terms. But it was, you know, it's a pretty like serious thing. And the way God tells us to do things is kind of just for our own good, so we don't pervert, you know, the relationship, because something can be good and it could be, God could have put them together, but if you start doing things before it's time, like living together or having sex or, you know, anything else that's, you know, goes into the realm of, okay, just treating someone like they're your spouse when they're not, one, you get hurt when they leave. Two, you also invite, you know, like spirits in that aren't of God. So, I mean, basically you're opening up, you know what I'm saying, like giving demons, like, reign in your relationship, and then when things are going, like, crazy, you wonder, like, what's going on, why is this happening, but it's because you gave up foothold. So I would give that same advice. Like, you know, I just think men are supposed to pursue women, and women shouldn't have to chase after a man.
Right.
Like, you know.
Amen to that.
Like, you know,
praise Jesus on that one.
Yeah. Men are supposed to be hunters. They're supposed to hunt after women. You know, women are not supposed to hunt after men, no matter what they say now. It's not a new age. Like, no. Like, no.
And with that said, though, do you believe that that's where most of the problems stem from for people, or mainly women, in life? It's because of...
Yeah.
It started there and then everything trickles, or?
Yeah, things become perverted, like, in a relationship, even just, like, the simple fact is, you're not even talking about those things, like, just walking in love. If you don't walk in love, it says that perfect love casts out fear, you know, and a lot of the reasons that people do certain things, the way they might treat someone, I'm afraid to open up because, you know, fear might be there, or, you know what I mean, or some people... Men and women try to manipulate the other person to try to control them because they're fearful. They want to be in control. You know, that's not love. And that's why a lot of people break up. That's why a lot of people get divorced, even in marriages, because they're not doing those principles. You know, anytime you leave a foothold, it's kind of like, you know, if you have like a wall or a crack, and you don't let the devil, he wants any way to get into something and, you know what I mean, and mess it up, especially if it could be, you know what I mean, of God and powerful, like the person you're really supposed to be with. There's power in that. So when you let, you know, when you do the wrong things, you just kind of open up the door to perversion, basically. And, yeah, there's a trickle effect.
On Twitter, oh, go ahead, Nicole, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that I think, you know, just because of who we all are on this podcast, that we're like, you know, everything is copacetic. But what you are saying is your stance and beliefs are very rooted and strong, you know, and I could see a lot of people not agreeing with it just because of the day and age that we do live in. A lot of people do cohabitate. A lot of people are having sex before marriage, you know, and not even are they having sex before marriage. They probably were brought into this world by people who had sex, you know. before that. So even with that said, do you believe in generational curses? Do you believe that these are things that are just continuing to happen because of what we've been taught? And what are your views about that?
I definitely believe in generational curses, and even just from the natural standpoint of looking at learned behavior. Like they say, when you teach a child something, like you listen, your mom can say, I don't know, don't touch this. Well, no, that's not a good example. But if your parent can tell you not to do something, but you see them doing it, you're probably going to do it. Because if it was so bad, then why are they doing it? So I think a lot of behaviors are just learned behaviors, and people end up in the same situations that they've been exposed to and seen. And the generational curses and things like that can be broken when someone comes into, like, the knowledge of the truth and decides to change it, like, and they have to make a conscious decision for it to be different. And also, I mean, also through prayer, like breaking different curses, because that also can be, you know, a reason why people just seem to be in the same type of situations, maybe as their parents were. Or, but yeah, I definitely believe that it is true. And also, I mean, just because someone else did something doesn't make it right. I mean, in the Bible says that wide is the way to destruction and narrow is the way, you know, to life, and only a few find it. So just because something is popular now and everyone's doing it doesn't make it right. Yeah. Like, if all, you know what I mean? Like, if everyone held hands and jumped into a lake of fire, would you go jump with them? Because it's like, oh, are they doing it too? Like, they always did that. Like, you know, like, no, I wouldn't. Not intentionally, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we don't know that what we're doing either. And that's why it's important to seek the truth, so that you do know. And you can't say that you would, you know, someone else told you this, that you were deceived. Like, if you look for the truth yourself, then you know for yourself.
Right. And so you believe the only way for a person to be saved is?
Yes.
Through. I'm wondering what your belief was, though. You believe in
through
baptism,
Jesus,
through receiving the Holy Ghost, or what is?
Well, I believe that the only way someone can be saved is through Jesus Christ, because that's the only way to get to God. And Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. The way to get saved, I mean, you say the sinner's prayer, but that's just the beginning. You have to have a repentant heart. Like, you're saved through repentance. The reason, even, let me explain, because I don't even know if everyone has heard of Jesus. Like, he came to earth to die for our sins. Sins are things that, you know, offenses against God, things that God hates. He knows that we can't do it. People were doing it before, and they couldn't stop doing it even with the law. So God gave us Jesus so he could reconcile us back to him, meaning that we can now have a relationship with him and we can have life through him. And he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us, you know. But we have to have a repentant heart. And that's kind of like, I have a testimony about that as well, because I went to church as a kid. I did the choir. I did YPD group. I did ushering. I did different things at a church. But I didn't have... Then I grew up and, you know, I went off on my own way, and I didn't understand that my heart had to change. Just like with a decision you make, your heart has to change about whatever you believed about it before in order for you to go a different way. And my past lifestyle and my sin, I have to repent. I'm not saying like, oh, forgive me, bye. Like, I used to do that all the time. You know, oh, I'm going to do this, whatever, it's a sin. Well, you know, oh, I didn't turn in my test, I'm a lie, and say something, God forgive me, and keep, you know, you keep on going. And I know if you think it's a sin to lie, then you repent, and your heart changes. Like, you have to experience godly sorrow about whatever the sin is in your life, and then that's when you're saved, when you have a heart, because God looks at your heart, but he looks for a repentant heart. You know, if you have the Holy Spirit working in you, it breaks your heart to sin. You don't want to sin. It makes you sad. But if you don't, well, without the Holy Spirit, you can easily just do whatever you want. And then, you know, there's no conviction there. So I believe if you don't have a repentant heart, even if you're in the church and you go to church every day, that's why, like, it goes back to religion and spiritual. You know, if you live by the spirit, you know, your mind has been renewed, you're a spiritually minded person, then you're going to do, you're going to work with the Holy Spirit and you're going to be able to, you know, to live. Like, you have life, you're saved. But if you're carnal, you know, this says the carnal mind leads to death, spiritual mind leads to life. So that's the difference, having a repentant heart. Because I did get baptized. The first time I got baptized, I still, to me, I wasn't really saved. I still didn't have the understanding. You have to understand what you're doing. You have to understand the seriousness of a relationship with God. And that's because I didn't hear a balanced gospel. Because you hear about the love of God being preached. And He does love you. And He will forgive you for your sins. But you have to have a repentant heart. And there's consequences for your sins. And if you think that, oh, like, you're just a good person because you do good works, you're nice, you know, you follow the law, you know what I mean? Even if you're doing good works, you give to charity, but you don't have Christ. Christ makes us righteous as a saved person, as a born-again person. I'm not righteous because I do things. I'm righteous because the blood of Jesus on the cross made me righteous. So, you know, that's why I'm saved, not my good works. Doing good things or nice things are not going to save people. And nice people go to hell every day, honestly. Like, it's just a reality. But if you don't understand that reality, then you don't have a need for a Savior. And even if you say you believe in it, but you don't have a repentant heart, then you're not really accepting Christ because you think that you're good. You think that what you do is good. You know what I mean? Like, you're good on your own, so you don't think you really need Him, but you do, you know, and is there any other way than that? I don't know another way to explain it, but there has to be true repentance. That's where you're saved, when you have true repentance, a repentant heart. It says wide is the way to destruction and narrow. God said that thousands of years ago because it's just the truth. Widely people don't believe. Widely people think that they're good. Widely people think that there's other ways, and that's deception. That's why the devil is there. Why would there be a this powerful God and there not be an opposing force? He's there to save us from something. And the God has a plan for you and the devil has a plan for you. That's why I like to do the coaching, because you don't want to be on the devil's best plan for your life. You want to be on God's best plan for your life. But if you don't, you know what I mean, if you don't believe or you don't understand, not even believe, you don't even have an understanding of that concept, and you kind of just think you're good. But that's what the devil wants you to think. That's like the whole deception of it. If I had died before 2010 May, I probably would have went to hell, but I didn't have a concept of that. I didn't understand. I thought I was good, you know, the church I was going to before, and I just related to church because that was my experience, because I did go to church before, but I thought I was good because I was going to church. That's why I like that you asked that question earlier, because you can be going to church and not save, so it doesn't even, church doesn't save. Church is for fellowshipping with other believers and having support, really. And to have someone there to guide you, but it doesn't save. And I thought I was fine. And everyone there, it was like an older place, so everyone there was over 50 years old. So they already got it. And I used to sit there like, how do I know what God wants me to do? I don't know. I was too afraid to ask. So I would just sit there and clap and, you know, sing the song. But I didn't get it. And I was glad. That was the Holy Spirit. You know, God leading me to this other place where there was, you know, a younger pastor with younger people. And they explained to me what I'm explaining now, like that you have people, like you have to have Christ, and you can't reject Him. You reject Him when you think that you're good. I thought I was good, and that's what the devil wants. He wants you to be complacent and comfortable where you are, to think that you are good. You know, you don't, because you can even just believe but still be on your way in the wrong direction if you don't have a true repentant heart and you don't have the Holy Spirit leading your life.
Well, is it fair, though, for you to still work under the title as a life coach, specifically because of your specific views? Because what if you have someone who is a Buddhist or who does believe in another, a Muslim, or, you know, somewhere else, and they come to you for, you know, as a life coach? Is that a title that's fair for them to believe that they'll get the right advice or what they're looking for?
I guess it should go under Christian life coaching then, so that people know, because I don't want to mislead anybody. It's life coaching, but, I mean, I'm going to tell people the truth. Like, if it, you know what I mean? Like, I would never lie to anybody. about what I believe is the truth, because that's, you know what I mean, like, that's just, it's just dishonest. But, yeah, it's just the truth. I can't, I wouldn't tell you to do something that I don't believe or I wouldn't do myself, because that's just wrong to me.
Well,
is something more general that's coming?
Okay, well, this is actually ending right now, and we're going to cut off in just a few seconds. But, Jasmine, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on to this podcast. And a lot of people on Twitter has a lot to say. the Blurred Forum, we're going to go to that after this discussion. And if you guys have any questions or feedback, feel free to post them with Jasmine there. Next week on the Black Girl Nerds podcast, we will have Carolyn Malachi. She is a Grammy-nominated singer, and she's got a new album coming out called Gold. So please tune in for that. And thank you guys again. I really appreciate it. Thanks, LaTanya, Brittany, Nicole. Thanks for co-hosting with me today.
No problem.
Love it.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
Finally.